Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today's Wednesday, September 27th, 2017. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
We have Wendy Wilson joining us this fine Wednesday afternoon, but first, let's go ahead and do the market report. Gold again, pressure down $10 at $1,284. Silver was down 4 cents at $16.84. Both of them tried to be stronger earlier in the morning trade, but I don't know if it has something to do with the tax announcements by Trump, or dollar got a little bit stronger today. Really hasn't been any news. Everybody's just waiting for this tax, this great tax new program that we're supposed to be getting. So pressure on platinum also down 3 at $924. And we saw palladium up 14 at $934. The USDX today was stronger by 0.42 at 93.43. Oil was up 25 cents at 52.13. And the paper markets, they're happy today. The Dow was up 56 points, 22,340. You have the NASDAQ up 73, the only one that was up over 1% at 6,453. And the S&P was up 10 at 2507. Maybe this was a reward from Wall Street that, perhaps they're going to be bailed out on some of their bond holdings of Puerto Rico. Who knows? I'm just being a little... Anyway, 10-year yield, 2.31%, up 0.08, and pressure on the euro, 117. So we'll talk about all of this information, a little bit about Janet Yellen that we didn't get to yesterday since we had Greg Hunter on the program. We now have Wendy Wilson from Apothecary Herbs. And again, once again, thank you for joining us, Wendy Wilson.
Hey, Melanie. Hello, Al. How's everybody today?
Good. Just fantastic.
How you doing?
Awesome. Well, I thought we'd talk about, health care and, unfortunately, bankruptcies associated with health care, because, the rate of people that are filing for bankruptcy in the U.S. due to their medical bills is pretty high. So, for instance, out of the 800,000 Americans that filed for bankruptcy last year in 16, 81% of them were not business bankruptcies, but they were due to personal bankruptcies from medical bills. That's 643,000 people had to file for bankruptcies because they couldn't pay medical bills. So that's about 3 out of 5 Americans are struggling with health care payments. So the politicians actually pushing for the total socialized health care like they have in the UK and Canada, because they're saying that there aren't any medical bankruptcies in nations with a one-payer government-run system. Well, nations with one-payer government healthcare systems actually come with a 20% individual tax. And is it true that people with socialized healthcare don't have medical expenses and aren't at risk of medical bankruptcy? What do you think, Al?
Well, it's like, it's not true, of course. you're going to pay one way or another. They're going to make you pay.
The individuals don't go bankrupt, but the country does.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is what Christina Montague, VP of Health at NerdWallet, says. She says, in our study, the burden of healthcare costs is causing widespread indebtedness. So medical bills can completely overwhelm a family when an illness strikes. An estimated 25 million people ration right now their medications in an effort to control their medical costs, but this can cause an emergency trip to the hospital. And many question this universal health care Affordable Care Act can improve on this risk. She said, even with insurance coverage, an estimated 10 million Americans will have medical bills they cannot pay. So basically what we're seeing is this is not a total shield. So as the government health care is being promoted as, and it's selling this thing globally to all the nations, it's the answer supposedly to the high cost health care, but we find that's not the case in countries that already have a one-payer system. So we're told that private health insurance or any health insurance is not 100% coverage, and that also applies to your government-provided health insurance. So I don't know how they're going to sell it. But let's take a look at Canada. Let's take a look just for a second, just for argument's sake, at our neighbor to the north. Canada has the government-run healthcare system. Actually, private insurance is illegal there regarding any treatments that would normally be covered by the one-payer system. Now, citizens of Canada are at the mercy of their government-run plan. So when government absorbs the healthcare costs, is there a difference in bankruptcy? Well, the Fraser Institute, it's a Canadian think tank, it's non-affiliated with anybody, they found that bankruptcy rates are the same in Canada as in the United States. They reported that Canadians go to bankruptcy because of medical expenses. Here's a quote from their report. About 15% of Canadian seniors, that's 55 years of age or older, cited medical reasons for filing their bankruptcy. So, any questions?
No, I don't have a question. I mean, it's just information that you bring it up, and I don't think I'm going to be surprised.
Right. Well,
I mean, this confirms what a lot of people already suspect.
Right. Well, now, according to the World Health Organization, other countries other than Canada, they're not the only country where the citizens are having to file bankruptcy because healthcare costs aren't covered by the single-payer government system. So in the UK, indebtedness due to their health costs is running about 5% of all their households, and that was back in 2002. In Germany, medical care indebtedness is definitely associated with healthcare costs, especially in the area, according to the WHO, when it was in regard to psychological costs and other sickness. So it was ranking fourth in the bankruptcy filings in Germany. So maybe we should nail down the definition. Let's do that. For a large part of the world, politicians and courts, they tend to struggle with the definition of medical debt. Now, back in 2009, the United States passed the Medical Bankruptcy Fairness Act, and it defines medical debt as any debt incurred directly or indirectly as a result of a diagnosis, a cure, a medication, a treatment, or a prevention, or injury, a deformity, or disease, or for the purposes of affecting any structure of function of the human body. So that's their Medical Bankruptcy Fairness Act. And of course, now the Administrative Office of the U.S. Courts goes on to say, a bankruptcy case is classified as a non-business or a non-business based on the nature of debt. So individual debtors filing for bankruptcy tend to receive a discharge of more than 99% of their cases. So, okay, so let's say we go to one-payer system and people still have medical bills and they're filing bankruptcy. Does that mean the providers get paid?
I'm going to assume that somehow the providers are getting paid, although maybe it's coming from the taxpayer rather than the individual, but maybe you can surprise me.
Well, in the United States, there are many ways to file for debt relief, but Chapter 7 is the most popular because it requires no repayment of debt. Now, there are exceptions here. There are non-exempt assets under Chapter 7's rule that when you file for bankruptcy, you don't get protection from, like anything that has property under a lien, like a mortgage or an installment loan on a car. But there are exception laws to the exception laws, and that's why most people get confused and really should have an attorney help them figure it all out. But that's why Chapter 7 is used, because most people think, I won't have to pay it back. Well, you're right. Somebody's going to get it back. And, I guess the taxpayer might be on the hook for it. You're right, Al. But let's take a little reality check about the costs to health insurance. It's, as we covered in previous shows, it's not just your monthly premium. There's deductibles and copays and limitations on coverages that patients are required to pay out of pocket. Now, the average household income in the United States is making about $50,000 a year. Now, can either one of you tell me what treatment, very common treatment, that sends people to the hospital running between $5,000 and $10,000 that will sink the average household wage earner in America and they struggle with the bills? Can you tell me what that would be? They send them to the hospital?
Diabetes?
Nope.
Appendicitis?
Nope. It's having a baby.
Having a baby. Oh, my God.
Right? Here's what Christina Lawrence, vice president of the Heart Health of NerdWallet, says, she says, the data is showing us that millions of people with year-round full health care coverage are still overwhelmed by their medical bills. The Affordable Care Act hasn't completely resolved this problem. She goes on to say, a lot of Americans think of bankruptcy as stemming from unpaid credit card debt or foreclosures on mortgages. But the root of the cause of all those troubles, in many instances, is really medical bills. The facts show that 11 million people have taken out additional credit card debt to cover their mounting medical bills. Another 15 million will deplete their savings accounts and be unable to pay the normal costs of living like rent, food, and utilities. So medical costs, they're ramping up the cost of medical costs. This is on purpose. So what you is this all started in 73, as we showed you with Nixon signing the HMO Act, that because before the HMO Act, people could afford to pay their doctor because treatment costs were low because it was considered nonprofit. It wasn't for-profit kind of thing. And so the HMO Act actually changed the healthcare landscape and produced a system focused on making money by exploiting patients. So the HMO Act really allowed for the exploitation and actually criminalized it and created gray areas of insurance fraud as a result. And, you know, politicians like to, you know, turn up the heat slowly and so you don't notice it so much right away. And so now we've got this healthcare system on the roll, and it's been in the making for like 40 years. And this is why you see politicians on the Capitol Hill finding ways to not, you know, remove Obamacare. This is what you're seeing.
Do we think Obamacare is going to die under the weight of its own debt?
Possibly. I mean, obviously, you know, you can't get blood from a stone eventually, but it's going to be painful. Let me just run down the list of the most expensive healthcare conditions to treat in the United States that puts a lot of Americans at risk. At the top of the list is sepsis or blood poisoning, very expensive and time-consuming to treat. And actually, health insurance companies are now pressuring doctors to start amputating limbs if it takes people out of the hospital sooner. Okay, cardiovascular disease and stroke, kidney failure or diabetes, pulmonary lung diseases and asthma, obesity, alcoholism, central nervous system problems, arthritis, and childbirth. Like we mentioned, average cost is now up to about $10,000. Now, the cost of organ transplants is also in the mix here, and because people, you know, are, you know, using drugs and alcohol, and they're needing organ transplants down the road. But, you know, the organ availability for transplants is kind of dwindling. Not as many people are donating organs, mainly because of the expense, because the family has to pay the hospital to harvest the organ, and it can
But they don't get paid for the organ.
No, they don't. They don't pay anything for the organ, but
yeah, they get that for free. But the guy who's got it has to pay to have it harvested.
No, well, the let's say you died in an accident, and you on your driver's license said, "I'm donating my heart." Fine, your family who settles all your estate has to pay the hospital for harvesting your heart, and it could be as much as $63,000. And that's why people aren't donating anymore. And so what medicine is doing is looking towards, they're actually setting up a hog farm. It's a bio-hog farm. They're going to raise hogs and for the purposes of using their organs to transplant into humans, and they're also using synthetic organs for transplantation. So this is where, because this is a specialized part of healthcare and it's very, very lucrative. For instance, if you needed an intestine transplant, and they may use the intestines of a hog, that would be $1,121,800. If you needed a heart, it's $787,000. Bone marrow is $676,000. But if you needed an allogenic factor with that, it's another $300,000. Lung, if you needed two lungs, $657,000. If you just need one, $450,000. Liver is $523,000. Pancreas, $275,000. Kidney, $259,000. A tracheotomy, like you need a new trach, $250,000, and a retina eye transplant, $153,000. So this is in the hundreds of thousands of dollars, and this is why, you know, this industry is where it is. So now you've got the Affordable Care Act, which again has modified the healthcare landscape and is really making paying for healthcare more burdensome. So you see a system here that's being in motion.
Well, I see a system that's extracting money from people in the capacity of taxpayers under the guise of helping the people that are sick, but who is really profiting from this system? And is it the insurance companies or the doctors? Who's actually profiting from this system?
Well, it's definitely the people at the top, people like Kaiser Permanente. Kaiser's family, his estate is profiting. It's probably a conglomerate of hospitals, doctors, and clinics, as well as insurance. They also have the insurance end of it. So they have the, we're going to give you this procedure, health care, but then they have the insurance part. God help you, you know.
Yeah, we need insurance. We need health care insurance to pay for the operation, and we need insurance to pay for the bill.
Well, that's where a lot of those secondary insurance policies came for people on Medicare, Medicaid, and stuff like that, because it wasn't paying enough. We have answers right under our noses. If we want to make sure we take good care of our organs so we don't have them break down and need treatment, there are herbs here that actually cleanse and help regenerate them. We definitely want to stop doing what is hurting them. So, smoking, alcohol, and medications that actually can destroy organs. So some of the prescription drugs out there people are on are actually on a metabolic level tearing down their organs. So they need to do their homework on everything that is recommended to them. But we have a system of cleanses that people can work through one at a time, very gentle cleanses, but effective at removing the toxicity that burdens the organ and makes it struggle. And also herbs for super nutrition to help build up the tissues in those organs. Like, for instance, milk thistle helps your liver cells regenerate quickly. If we were Adam and Eve, Al, Melanie, living in the Garden of Eden, our liver is designed to regenerate so quickly, we should have a new liver every 30 days.
Holy
because we have a lot of toxicity, and that's the organ of the body that deals with toxins, whether it's air pollution, medications you're taking, alcohol, smoking, the liver gets overworked and it doesn't keep up. And so, it can get fatty and
cirrhosis. So we have to provide cleansing for it precisely because we take in more toxins than nature exposed or expected. Therefore, we need to help nature along.
Yeah,
you need to give us
up.
Some contact information, Wendy.
Absolutely.
And tell folks where they can get more.
Yep. They can visit us at apothecaryherbs at thepowerherbs.com online or call for a free product catalog at 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. See you next week.
Thank you, Wendy. Very interesting, very informative as always. That's Wendy Wilson from thepowerherbs.com at 866-229-3663. Melody and I will be right back. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk. CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188.
Get it out, Al. Spit it out.
You almost lost. Get my throat cleansed a little bit so I can say my words. They don't jam up there in my larynx.
We're still running those great prices. Prices are down in silver, so give us a call on 1 ounce American Silver Eagles 2017s. They're a great buy. If you're looking to buy a lower amount, I mean, I compared with Atmex online, and we were a dollar cheaper. And as you go up to buying the volume, we were just a few, you know, we were about a nickel cheaper, which is still significant if you're looking to buy 1,000, 2,000, or 5,000 Silver Eagles. It's very significant. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188 and visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. And multiple reasons why gold is lower, silver is having pressure, and, you know, I think there's just a little optimism for the tax cuts. I mean, Janet Yellen, with her little speech yesterday, I mean, she really doesn't have a clue, does she? I mean, nobody has a clue onto the economy.
Well, it really does make you wonder. When the chairman of the Federal Reserve, they've essentially decided that the Phillips curve, which indicated a relationship between unemployment and inflation, and that's been a cornerstone of economic manipulation, guidance, control for decades, for most of my life and yours. Now they say, well, don't worry about that anymore. It doesn't work. Did it ever work? Has economics changed? Or was the Phillips curve just some sort of coincidence and farce that people believed in for, you know, a number of decades, and now they it doesn't really work? And did it ever really work? And how? You know, well, it makes you wonder who's making up the rules, who's deciding this stuff. They don't know what they're doing.
I do think in the beginning things did work, but they've changed. When you have markets that are rigged and when you change the formulas to get the numbers that you want, how can you get anything that resembles a cohesive number to which you could base decisions on? It's impossible.
Well, you know,
and
what
I think this is what we've seen. Just like inflation. There's this article here that's over the past 10 years, wages for American classes, blah, blah, blah. Inflation figured in wages are the same as they are in 1995. They've been telling us we've had no inflation for years, Al, for as long as I can remember. In the 90s, we have no inflation. I was like, who are you kidding? Who are you trying to kid? And
well, when we talk about things being confusing, all right, strange, and they don't seem to behave in a rational way, I am going to go back to the same thing we talk about on the program on a regular basis. What's the reason for this? We've got different formulas. We've got formulas and algorithms and new insights and old insights fail and whatever. We can point to a bunch of different things, but what it is, in my opinion, is our classical economics, our notion of classical economics, and the fundamentals in classical economics are, in my opinion, based on having an asset-based currency like gold or silver. We don't have an asset-based currency. We have, instead of having assets, which are something someone has already produced, all right, if I say I've got 1,000 silver dollars, okay, I've got 1,000 ounces of silver. not a promise. It's silver that's already been mined out of the ground. It's been refined. It's been stamped into a coin, given a image on both sides and the rest. But and I've got 1,000 of them. That's an asset. It's production that's been achieved, and I have saved 1,000 silver dollars. But what we have is we have Federal Reserve notes, which are debt-based monetary instruments. In the end, these are not assets. They're not based on production. They are based on promises, ultimately, that we promise to pay a debt. Hey, I promise to pay you 1,000 silver dollars next year, next month, 5 years from now, sometime. It's based on promises rather than production. I don't think you can run an economy under the principles that apply to an asset-based money. I don't think you can run those same principles. When you start using debt, it's like using negative numbers in mathematical equations. And yet they've got to come up with results that look as if things are working. It may be. This is just hypothesis on my part. I don't know that this is God's truth, but it sounds like it's probable to me.
Well, it is.
It may be that they have to manipulate the economy in order to make the debt-based monetary system appear to work according to classical economics. But we're getting to a time where the contradictions are perhaps becoming too great. And maybe we can't continue with this illusion. But as we do, the whole thing becomes crazy. It's irrational. Why is this happening? Why is this happening? How can this be? It's happening because we have a debt-based monetary system rather than an asset-based monetary system, I suspect.
Yeah, the old economics don't apply.
Yeah, I know.
They just don't apply anymore. So, yeah.
It's like running your car on diesel fuel instead of gasoline. This isn't going to work. You don't just pull, all right, we're out of gas, put diesel fuel in and run on that. No, it won't. You're going to make a lot of modifications to run on diesel fuel instead of gasoline. And maybe we have just run out of the modifications. And if there's any truth to what I'm suspecting here, then the point is we're going back sooner or later. We're going to go back kicking and screaming to an asset-based monetary system. And when we say assets, we mean production, not in the past, rather than promises for the future. And when
I'm
we do
not
that,
sure
a lot of
that's,
people
that's where we should go. I'm not sure that's where we will go, but
I think
I'm
we
sure.
have to.
Well.
We'll watch and see. I know the government doesn't want to go there.
It all depends on who's sitting in
Washington. I agree with that. They won't want to go there. They'll only go there under, it'll be the last thing they maybe ever do. Oh, my God.
Can I
only
say this now?
Because
we have looked at multiple countries default, and they've never gone back to an asset-based economy. They've all
I understand.
That. So for this to say our country would,
we'll correct the point,
and then we'll just carry on as business as usual. But we don't know until we get there.
We take, for example, Greece has gone bankrupt. Well, Greece gets along to some degree. They are living in a period of austerity, but nevertheless, they get along to some degree based on loans, that is to say, debts that are provided to them by other entities. Ultimately, like the United States, we've been running the show globally since Nixon took us off the gold standard and gave us a pure fiat currency, and maybe even before that. But we are the cornerstone of this debt-based monetary system in the world. And as long as we were there to ultimately, even if the money didn't directly come from us, maybe it came from the Bank of Turkey. Or the European Central Bank, or who knows where it came from. But ultimately, the debt-based monetary system emanated from the United States.
Yeah,
and as long as we could provide more debt instruments and people would go along with it, then nations could go bankrupt and they still wouldn't have to go back to an asset-based monetary system. But maybe we're reaching a point where the United States can't afford to continue to subsidize nations that have hit the big contradiction. The wall between assets and debt. And we can't continue to subsidize them with more debt instruments. And if that happens, then maybe we're going to... when we say that countries haven't gone back to asset-based monetary systems when they went bankrupt, that's true, but they've still been able to struggle along with a debt-based monetary system. But to some degree, China and Russia, for example, are going back to gold right now. they're going back to an asset-based monetary system, and that's the number two and something like the number six, eight. I don't know what size economy Russia is on the world scale, but it's two. China's number two. Russia is certainly substantial. I mean, they are moving back to gold. Now, they're not there, but they're going in that direction, and that's evidence that maybe you don't have to go bankrupt to go back to an asset-based monetary system. Maybe all you need to do is get smart. Colonel Gaddafi tried it for Libya. He was going to have an asset-based monetary system for Africa, gold-based. They killed him. All right? What we see happening in China and in Russia right now is perhaps a real basis from the perspective of the people that are running this country in the New World Order. They are threatening this debt-based monetary system. If that goes down, government, it has to go back to a fraction of its current size. They can't continue to make promises and use promises to fund programs. They actually have to have, if you got a program that's going to cost $1,000, you got to have 1,000 ounces of silver, not a promise to pay. You have to have assets in order to make that system work, that program work. The government would shrink by at least a third, maybe more than that. This debt-based monetary system is the foundation for the New World Order. It's a foundation for big government. Why? Because government, we trust government to say, just write a piece of paper and promise to pay, and we accept it and use it as if it were real money. But it's not. It's nothing but a promise to pay. It's a debt instrument. If we ever go, and this is the foundation for big government. If we ever say, forget that government, if you want something from me, you pay me for it, and don't give me a piece of paper, I want real money, gold or silver. Pay me. All right? Don't promise me, pay me. That happens, big government dies. You'll still have some kind of government, but it won't be anywhere big as large as it is right now. And I'd say we'd be much better off.
Yes.
Yes.
I wanted to say a few things, but I agree with you. But, you know, and China has a lot of debt too. And China has always recognized gold as their wealth. They understand gold. And, you know, just like India, it's a sign of wealth. They get that their wealth is in gold. But with the amount of debt that they have, I'm not so sure it would be an easy transition. I think they are purchasing gold. There's many reports that say that they're purchasing gold, as with Russia and so forth. But they're also protecting them, that they also hold a lot of dollars.
But not all that many, really. $1 trillion. It's maybe even less than we have debt for college kids, less than the education debt for college kids.
Yes, but if they begin dumping it, that means it's all ties together.
No, I know.
And
I know.
Did you forget how much $1 trillion is? Did you forget how much really $1 trillion is? It's significant. And then you have all the other things that come unwound as you have the $1 trillion. So plus their debt. I mean, how many trillions of dollars are they in debt?
Well, I don't know. And how many trillions do they intend to go into debt? $20 trillion for the United States now?
I'm not supporting China. I'm not sticking up for China.
Oh, you're talking. Okay.
I'm not sticking up for China. I'm just saying.
Debt-based monetary
system. I'm not so sure that they're actually thinking of going back to an asset-based society yet.
It may not be that people are willing to do this, but you look at it and it has to be, because the debt can't be paid. We look at the national debt that they admit to, $20 trillion. Some people think it's actually $100 trillion. Others think it's over $200 trillion. Serious people think it could be up over $200 trillion. They admit to $20 trillion. Whatever it is, it's at least $20 trillion, and it's probably substantially larger. It can't be paid. $20 trillion works out to about $65,000 for every man, woman, and child in the country. Family of four, your fair share is $250,000. How soon can we expect your check?
The answer is
just about never. All right, the debt can't be paid. The debt won't be paid. When people realize that the debt can't be paid, that's what the confidence. They tell you that our system works based on confidence in the currency. And what's that confidence all about? It's the confidence that a piece of paper will really pay a debt. the debt can be paid. That is the ultimate consequence that holds the whole system together, the debt-based monetary system. It's all based on the idea that I can take this piece of paper from some stranger,
it's gonna be accepted.
And sooner or later, I'm going to get paid. And if anything happens to destroy that confidence, they say, wait a second, that debt's too big to be paid. We can't pay that. At that point in time, the whole system begins to collapse. The debt can't be paid, and therefore it won't be paid, not in full. And as people realize that, the debt-based monetary system, they're going to lose confidence. Confidence is the only thing that holds it together. Confidence dies, system dies. What are we going to have confidence in? I'm not going to have confidence. Don't ask me to have confidence. Pay me. Do not promise me. Pay me. Understand, world? That's where we're headed. You, ladies and gentlemen, the day is coming when you will not accept pieces of paper, promises to pay. You're going to want to, I don't want a promise, I want a payment. And somebody's going to say, well, suppose I gave you a couple of gold coins, would that work? And more than likely, you're going to say, yeah, buddy, that'll work. But I don't want any more paper, I don't want any more digits, I want payments, not promises. And some of that may sound confusing to people, the difference between a payment and a promise to pay. It's not that complex, but it's something that you got to grasp. And when you do, then you're on the road, in my opinion, to perhaps some significant wealth. When you understand the difference between a payment and a promise to pay, you want payments, you begin to save your wealth in the form of payments rather than in the form of promises to pay. If push comes to shove, worst case scenario, all of a sudden you're sitting there with assets when the debt-based monetary system no longer works. It'll be a big advantage, in my opinion. We've got about a minute left, Melody, before we take our next break.
Speaking of debt, you know, there is more information out on this Puerto Rico debt. Their debt load is about $73 billion. I see numbers much higher than that. And it's interesting because they say less than 25% of the Puerto Rican debt is held by hedge funds. And this Kate Long, founder of research firm Puerto Rico Clearinghouse, says that it is a lot of their debt is owned by Main Street, not Wall Street. And
well, the government
75% of the debt is owned by individuals and mutual funds that are held by mom and pop investors.
And
so
what
Main
do they
Street,
mean by that?
So Main Street America owns this debt.
Okay, so they're going to take a beating. You can bet on
bet
that.
You.
Yeah, and what else are they talking about? I will speculate when they say mom and pop. I think they're talking about pensions.
Absolutely.
But we'll find out.
Absolutely.
And at a later date, we're going to take a break, more commercials. Be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
On the line, I need to hear it just one more time. Oh, won't you tell me again? Oh, can you feel it? Oh, won't you tell me again tonight? Each and every heart is
food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today today, complete with two Black Berkey Elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Alfred Adamsk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Talking about, Melody and I have been talking about Puerto Rico a little bit. And here's an article from Zero Hedge that's interesting that deals with Puerto Rico. It says, Hurricane Maria has transformed Puerto Rico into a cash-only economy. Right? Electricity, internet access, and cell phone service has been offline in parts of Puerto Rico for a whole week. Hurricane Maria's damage has essentially knocked Puerto Rico's economy back into the 1950s. Shops across the island are now only accepting cash. The electrical system went down. They can't process credit cards. Don't show up with your credit card. We need cash. All right. The state of affairs could carry on for weeks or longer in some remote parts of the Commonwealth, and that means it could be impossible to trace revenue and enforce tax rules. Oh, my gosh, Melody. Now it's getting serious. It's okay for Hurricane Maria to knock down the homes and buildings and rest that put people out on the streets. That's one thing. We don't have to worry about that. But it may adversely affect Puerto Rico's ability to collect its taxes. What a terrible situation. The situation further frustrates one of the many challenges already facing a government that has sought a form of bankruptcy protection after its debt swelled past $70 billion, boosting revenue by collecting money that slips through the cracks. In other words, Puerto Rico is already in deep doo-doo because they have hit the wall on their debt. That happened before Hurricane Maria. Now that Hurricane Maria has come through, it may aggravate the problem of paying the existing debt because people are going back to cash and there's no way of tracking them, which means Puerto Rico is more likely to default on that $70 billion. It may be that the government, the United States federal government, is going to subsidize and pick up the tab for rebuilding Puerto Rico. But I don't believe that's intended to include the existing $70 billion in debt that was already there. Maybe that they'll help build and who knows? I don't even know that the government can put up enough money to rebuild Puerto Rico, but I doubt that they're going to also put up enough money under the guise of fixing Puerto Rico to also pay the $70 billion in debt that Puerto Rico had before the hurricane, which means we can rebuild everything and the country's still going to be bankrupt. Then what? What are you going to do with a bankrupt Puerto Rico, Melody?
You tell us, Al.
Well, I have no idea. Maybe we could relocate the island and we could put it in the middle of Lake Michigan. What about that? Did you think about that, Melody? We'd just pick it up with balloons and float it across the country and deposit it in Lake Michigan. I don't know what's going to happen, but it's an illustration of the debt is too great to be repaid. And even if our government can somehow come up with the money to subsidize Puerto Rico to the tune of $70 billion to pay off the debt, not to rebuild, just to pay off existing debt. Assuming that can happen, where are we coming up with the $70 billion? I don't doubt the government could come up with it, but it is evidence of more and more financial stress, and the debt keeps on growing. And sooner or later, I mean, you don't need a PhD in economics to understand it cannot, there has to be a limit. And it can't be, if our national debt is truly only $20 trillion right now, which the government claims, there's got to be a limit where you can't necessarily go to $30 trillion or $40 trillion or $200 trillion. There's got to be a limit. And when we hit that limit and we can't escape it, then everything folds up and the world goes back to assets rather than debt instruments. Puerto Rico is, if they're going to a cash-only economy, we are going to do perhaps something similar in the event that there is a significant economic problem in this country. You know, during the Great Depression, everyone would say that cash was king. Right? And if you had cash and you were willing to spend it, you could get some extraordinary bargains because everybody else was so broke that they would sell things at a great discount in the midst of the Great Depression. And in the context of the Great Depression, cash was king. But the thing to keep in mind was that cash throughout the Depression was backed by either gold up until 1933, or after that, it was backed by silver. Even after the Great Depression terminated, it was still backed by silver until 1968. The cash that was king during the Great Depression was gold and silver. They had pieces of paper, but the pieces of paper were backed by the gold and silver. Gold and silver was king during the Great Depression. If we're headed for another Great Depression, in my opinion, you can bet that gold and silver, assets, not promises, assets will be king, and that'll be gold and silver. It'll be like going to your landlady and promising, I can't get the rent to you this week when it's due, but I'll get it to you next week. Well, maybe the landlady will take your promise, or maybe in the midst of the Depression, they'll say, sorry, Charlie, you got to come up with a payment now. We need cash now. We are not accepting your payment that you'll get it to us next week. I need it now or pack your bags. And in a difficult world, that's what happens. People want payments, not promises to pay. The promises work fine when the economy is hot and everybody's getting rich. As long as you can sustain that hot economy, we can afford to take promises. We at least seemingly doesn't seem like a problem. But if we go into deep trouble, people are going to sit back and say, "I do not want a promise. Don't give me a promise. Don't give me paper. I want a payment. Payment. Payments. Gold, silver, something tangible." So in any case, Hurricane Maria is only illustrating, from my perspective, that they are not taking promises down there. They're moving back. Cash is not truly a payment, but it's more of a payment than a digital promise, than a credit card. And it's, you know, a little bit of an illustration. Push comes to shove, we'll do something similar. What's the next melody?
You know, yesterday when Greg Hunter was on the program, you know, he mentioned about 9/11 and what. I wanted to throw in there also that the gold market did trade after 9/11. After 9/11, the markets were down. The stock markets, Wall Street was closed for about a week. But gold was only closed, I can't remember if it was a day or a day and a half that it was closed, but we could still trade. We used the London market. Gold trades 24 hours. So in very severe situations when markets close, and I do think once this market starts falling apart, they are going to close it. You know, people talk about closing bank holidays. I think there's going to be a Wall Street holiday. That's what it's going to be. So that's where all the money's at. So that's the holiday that it will be, a Wall Street, not a bank, a Wall Street. Or a computer holiday, you know, where you can't, you know, go on have access to your accounts or to your shares, your stocks. You'll be able to watch it happen, but you won't be able to connect to the internet. And there's a lot of strange things that are happening with the, you know, with the internet. I was reading this morning on an interview, on a report. The guy's name is, you know, he was known for his fake news, you know, fake news through the elections. I actually believe some of his fake news. So, you know, did he really die of a drug overdose, or was he really murdered? But he did claim that his reports were phony, that they were fake. And what's interesting is, you know, he's been dead. He was found dead on September 18th. And this is just being released, what, the 26th, the 27th? So there's quite a few days in there that you would have thought that this information would have been released. Maybe they couldn't get a hold of the family or whatever. I mean, there's always something that could have prevented from releasing this information. But on the other hand, it always puts that question mark. They always
Is he really dead, or is this just more fake news? He's just getting out of harm's way and retiring to the islands. I'm going to Tahiti.
The Maricopa County Sheriff's Office confirmed the death of the authorities, and you know, they did an autopsy, but it shows there were no signs of foul play, and et cetera, et cetera. So no, I mean, he is dead. But he took claim that in an interview with the Washington Post in 2016, he thought Trump won the White House because of him. He said Trump supporters didn't fact check his stories before posting them. And the guy's name is Horner, was his last name, Paul Horner. And so I think this is an interesting story because you have all this fake news that's going on. Nobody knows the truth and so forth. You have, you know, Facebook, you have Google. They're all trying to censor and trying to, in their view, try to remove fake things. They're making the decision on what's fake and what's not fake. And we all know that the control of the internet was given over to the UN. So, yeah, I do think in the very near future, when things begin to unwind, you're not going to have access. You're only going to have access to what they want you to have access to.
I wonder what's going to happen to the dark web, because it may be that they can control the part of the internet that we routinely see and use. But I've seen reports that indicate that the part of the internet that we see and use and has been cataloged, indexed by Google, for example, is only 5 or 10% of the total internet. There's something like 80-90% of the internet that's dark. And the reason it's dark is because it has not been indexed by Google or the rest of the search engines. And you got to know where you're going. Well, when they talk about controlling the internet, the UN, for example, all right, they may be able to control the normal part of the internet, but I wonder, can they control the dark net too? I don't think they can. They may try to, but I think it's too big for them to get into. I can't imagine that the United Nations can index the dark web if Google can't index the dark web. I don't see how the UN is going to do it. It would surprise me. Nothing's impossible, but that would surprise me. What I'm getting to is, okay, UN, you go ahead and take over the normal web. Go ahead. We don't care. Have fun with it. You and Google play nice. We're going to the dark web. And the dark web may wind up being the free web.
The dark web, yeah, if you want to find pornography, if you want to find drugs.
It depends on what you want to put up there.
To make something. I don't think they have cookie recipes on the dark web, but you never know.
They might.
I don't think you'll find the latest chocolate chip recipe on there. But,
but
I mean, 80% of the whole 80%. Well, I've never been to the dark web. I want to go and check it out.
Instead of a vacation down to to Spain or someplace like that,
just
where are you going on
web.
Your vacation, Melody?
I'm going to
the dark web. Yeah. you just won the Super Bowl, Tom Brady. Where are you going now? I'm not going to Disneyland. I'm going to the dark web.
Yeah. I did have the ability to get on there, and I lost my access to it. But anyway,
get on. I don't know how. I've never, so far as I know, I've never been there. But who can say?
I don't think you can just Google it. But anyway,
no, you can. So, that's the idea. It's not indexed by Google.
Right.
You got to know one way or another to find or stumble onto whatever it is you're looking for.
I had the code. I don't know if it, code is probably not the proper terminology to use to get on there, but I had it. And I misplaced it, so I'll have to get it from my computer guy, and see what it's all about. But anyway, it's a possibility. But when you look at the commerce and everything on the internet, and you look at all the banking and everything, I don't think going into the dark web after the fact is going to be helpful to anyone.
Well, I'm just saying, if they control what we might call the light web, can they also control the dark web? And if they can't, I'm just saying that people who are interested in free expression of thought, and there may be a lot of criminal activity, there'll be dissidents, there'll be, who knows, people trying to do programs like this that are telling
the truth,
it will provide access if you care to find it.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. So we'll watch and see. But we live in interesting times where we are caught in a situation that is so unstable right now that it's difficult for us to do anything that doesn't wind up being polarized. You know, you can't just get up on this program, for example, and try to tell the truth. Because whatever you're telling, I guarantee there's some special interest out there that doesn't want to hear it. There is an element of controversy in almost anything you say nowadays. Try to tell the truth. Try to tell a lie. Try to say anything. Almost instantly, you antagonize some people, and you know they don't want to hear what you've got to say, even if it is the truth. And I'm not saying everyone is that way, but I'm saying a lot of people are. And the truth is not, you know, by itself is not good enough. And that's perhaps part of the reason we're in the fake news. A lot of people, why does the fake news work? It works because a lot of people really want to hear a false story. Tell me a story, then I'll go to bed. Some of you might remember that song from 60s or something like that. I don't remember. But maybe we're in that world where I don't want to be an adult. Don't tell me the truth. Give me a lie. Tell me lies. Tell me sweet, sweet lies.
Yeah, but Al,
don't
you know what? Let me
tell me the truth.
But how people make decisions on a lot of these stories, this fake news, and I'm talking about both sides, not just you know mainstream media. I'm talking about
live to regret it.
I'm talking about stories that I think the conservative Trump supporters did believe some of the stories and
sure,
so
they
forth.
Probably did. They want to believe. I want to believe. I mean,
but that
it's
changes.
Hard to separate,
but that changes
but
people's thinking. It changes their decisions. And we're going to have to finish this tomorrow because I think we're out of time.
We're not going to ever finish this. This is going to go on for weeks and months and years. We'll watch and see how long it goes on. But we're out of here for right now. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. Hope you tune in then. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer. Bye.
If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all.